one announcement I neglected to make. You will see at the bottom of page 2 the announcement regarding Jim Cox's death. Jim was buried earlier this week, but there will be a memorial service or a service of celebration of life for him in the sanctuary on January 8th, the first Saturday after the holiday Saturday. So January 8th at 11 o'clock, there will be a celebration of life service for Jim here in the sanctuary. Now let us continue in our worship with the reading of God's Word, familiar words, words we have heard already in this season from the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter, beginning at verse 15 through verse 20. Listen to God's Word. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. We're on an altogether different schedule. That is the schedule of what we do here in the church and the schedule of the rest of the world outside of these walls and all of the walls of all of the churches, Christian churches in the world. For we follow, in some ways, a different calendar. Yes, this is December 26th. Yesterday was Christmas. But in another way, it is also one of the Sundays within the liturgical year. Next Saturday, according to the secular calendar, will be New Year, New Year's Day. Can anybody tell or remember, we may have heard this recently, what the beginning of the liturgical is? What Sunday is it that is the beginning of the liturgical year? Mark just said it, yeah. Advent. The first Sunday of Advent is the beginning of the church year. So for many, and we see this in Advent all the time, for many, Christmas in the secular world begins out there earlier and earlier. I think I'm not wrong in remembering that when I was a lad, that stores didn't tend to put Christmas items out until after Thanksgiving. It was just kind of like a cultural thing. But now it's when? When does it start?
Halloween.
And the Halloween candy is out there right after the 4th of July. But my point is that Christmas in the secular world is being pushed more and more forward, basically, and primarily it's an economic thing. The longer the shopping season, the more opportunity there is to sell. And I certainly understand that. In fact, I think, as I remember in Massachusetts, the very first change in the blue laws where stores, remember, were not open on Sundays, was during the Christmas shopping season. Malls would be open on Sundays, and then it just bloomed and went on that way. Well, in the church, it's really hard for us to stay focused in Advent on Advent. I get it every year. I got it again this year. Why aren't we singing Christmas carols the first Sunday after Thanksgiving? And I want to say it's not Christmas. But to us, it feels like Christmas. It's so hard to wait till that Christmas event to start celebrating Christmas because the world out there is pulling us to talk about it and celebrate it, and specials on TV and tree lighting in Washington, D.C. and New York and everywhere. It's Christmas, Christmas, Christmas everywhere, and we're still trudging along in Advent, waiting, singing hymns like "Let all mortal flesh keep silence," like "O come, Emmanuel," not these real peppy, zippy Christmas carols. We give in, I relent, you know, I there's good fights to fight, and there are fights that aren't worth fighting. We sing Christmas carols in Advent, and I must say I enjoy that too. Usually I get one week of Advent where we can do just Advent songs. And if I go any further than that, you know, I'm sure to hear it. You know those notes to session that you have in those cards? Yeah, that's been the topic of one or two of them as they come around. Well, the point I want to make today is that for most of the world, Christmas is over. Christmas is done. It was yesterday. You know, the wrapping's already been either recycled or folded back up if you're that kind of person to use again next year. The toys have been opened and played with, and, you know, Christmas dinner, you know, enough of that. And the whole emphasis now out there is not Christmas, it's already starting to go to New Year. You know, where are you going to spend your New Year? Where's the New Year's Eve party? What's the advertising about? It's about, you know, the Dick Clark special, you know, watching the ball fall down. Somebody else is hosting that, but Dick, it's still the Dick Clark special. I suppose he'll still be there. But for us in the church, Christmas isn't over. Christmas has just begun. Now, I think most of us have heard the song, The 12 Days of Christmas, and I'm not going to sing it for you. I'm not going to ask us to name all of the gifts of the days. That would be fun. And well, unless you want to do it. No, we won't do that. But the 12 Days of Christmas, the reason it's 12 days is because from December 25th, Christmas Day, through January 5th, if you count them up on a calendar, is 12 days, counting December 25th and counting January 5th. January 6th is Epiphany, the celebration of the Magi coming to visit the Christ child. Now think about that. The world has gone on past Christmas. It's gone past New Year. We're into a new year, and we're just getting the Magi there. You know, it's a different system. It's a different way of thinking. Out in the world, Christmas is over. You won't hear carols in the shopping centers anymore. And unfortunately, it's in that world that we live most of our lives. This is a world that is almost like a world unto itself. It's a family unto itself. Special, it's important. We have our own traditions. We have our own sense of community. But when we go out those doors, it's different. Christmas is over. We go into a world that is already getting back. And eventually we will go back. Our kids will go back to school. People who have been home from college or other places visiting, who've come back for the holidays, they'll go back to their lives. And sometime, it may be this week, or if you're fortunate to have a good bit of vacation, it'll be the next week after New Year, you'll go back to work. Or you'll go back to your everyday lives. The schedule has been interrupted. Good things have happened. But it'll be done. And you will return. Well, the shepherds return to their lives after leaving Bethlehem. Martin Luther, in a sermon that he wrote about the shepherds, this is the 16th century reformer, says this: the shepherds returned. Where to? To their sheep. Oh, that can't be right. Did they not leave everything and follow Christ? Must not one forsake father and mother, wife and child to be saved? But the scripture says plainly that they returned and did exactly the same work as they did before. The shepherds returned to their fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. They returned to their work. They also returned to their status in the world, which was in Jewish society pretty low. Pharisees called shepherding an unworthy profession. One of the reasons why it was considered a lowly profession was that because the work with the animals kept them ceremonially unclean, they were not allowed to enter the temple because of the work that they did, which made them ceremonially unclean. But even in larger society, that stigma was still with them. They could not be witnesses in a court of law. They weren't trusted. It was a very, very low opinion of shepherds. And these are the people to whom angels appeared and to whom angels sang. The Bible says angels said glory to God, but I want you to know I went home after the 11 o'clock Christmas Eve service and I was watching Midnight Mass, and Pope Benedict was talking about that text, about the angels said, and he said, the language of angels is very different than the language of humans, and he said, they sang. So I have it on pretty good authority that the angels sang the glory in Excelsis Deo, although if you read the scripture, it says they said. How could they not have sung such wonderful, wonderful things? And these shepherds, these lowly shepherds who were ceremonially unclean, who wouldn't have been allowed in the church, they're the ones to whom the angels appear. And they hear probably the most glorious music that any human ears have ever heard. They hear the heavenly, the angelic choir, which someday we hope to hear. And hopefully our loved ones hear all the time. But here were these shepherds hearing it. And they went. And they looked for the sign that the angels told them. The angels told them how they would know who the Messiah was, who the one they were singing about was. He said, you'll find a baby wrapped in rags lying in a manger. That was the sign. Not lights blinking, you know, not Rudolph on the roof, not even a cross, just a baby wrapped in rags laying in a feed trough. That's the one that they were to go looking for. And they did. They had seen and heard the angels. They had seen God in the flesh. That baby lying in a manger. And then it says, after they talked about it and shared with Mary and Joseph and maybe whoever else was around at that time, they left. Did Mary make them leave because she was tired and the baby wanted to get some sleep? Or did they just get a sense that it was time to leave? Or were their hearts so full that they really didn't need to stay any longer because they had been to Bethlehem? They had seen Christ. And so they left. They returned to their world, but they, we can guarantee, we're never, ever the same again. We never hear about them again. We don't know if they ever saw Jesus as an adult. We don't know if they were one of the people or some of their family were some of the ones Jesus healed someday, somewhere, or if they ever heard Jesus' teaching, or even if they ever plain old heard about Jesus at all out there in the fields keeping watch by their flock. By night, keeping watch of their flocks by night. But they were changed as they had been to Bethlehem. The same could be said for the Magi. After they brought their gifts, worshipped the child. Remember, they did that. They worshipped this newborn child. That's no small thing to pay him homage. I wonder how long they stayed. Did they give their gifts all at once? Did they give one gift a day and go away? After all, they had come a great distance. Did they just pop in for half an hour and then go so far away again? Did they take a room in the inn, kicking other people out? Were there more than three? We presume there were three just because of the gifts There's nothing in the scripture that says there were three or only three. It just says they gave gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Maybe they brought two packages of gold. We don't know. Wonder how long they stayed. That must have blown the minds of the people of Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph in particular, who had their minds had already been blown by the shepherds coming and saying what they said, because it says Mary treasured and pondered all these things and treasured them in her heart. She must have certainly treasured what the Magi had to say just to look at them. And then they left. They went back to Iraq. That's where they came from, Persia. They went back to their privileged lives, to their academic pursuits, to their study of the heavens. But they had followed a star. They had left their land, and they had followed a star a long way that led them to a little town called Bethlehem. And there they beheld God in the flesh, and they gave him their gold, and they gave him their incense, and they gave him their myrrh. And then they went home. Not by the way Herod wanted them to go home. Herod wanted them to come back to him and tell Herod exactly where the baby was. And Herod pretended to them so that he could go and worship the newborn baby and pay him homage and give gifts. But the Magi were told in the dream, don't go that way. There are ways you go back, and that isn't one of them. Go another way. Return back into your world for sure, but go another way. Go a different way. Because that way led to violence and death. Because Herod was so infuriated when he realized that the Magi weren't coming back, that he sent his soldiers to Bethlehem with orders to kill every newborn male child up to 2 years old. Who knows how many that was in a town like Bethlehem? Even if it was only four or five, how horrendous. What sorrow. That's not the way to go back into the world. But it was Herod's cruelty that forced Joseph and Mary to leave Bethlehem. Joseph was warned. So Joseph took Mary and the new child and fled to Egypt. In a way, he's repeating something of what we would call a typology and imagery. In a way, Jesus is representing all of the children of Israel who had been slaves in Egypt and then were called out of Egypt. So he's mimicking that, running from power, running from secular authority, after him going into Egypt, and then later he would be called out of Egypt. So that is significant. We wonder how long they were there, how they lived. Did they use the gold that the Magi had given them? Is that how they funded themselves as they went? How afraid were they? Did they go in confidence? Finally, Joseph was told that Herod was dead and that he should go back. So he goes back to Israel. But the successor to Herod is still there, and Joseph is afraid to hang around too closely. So he goes back into the world from which he came. He goes back to Nazareth, to being a poor carpenter. He goes back with Mary. Were tongues wagging when they got back about, wait a minute, when was that child born again? When was that child born? They went back to a harsh and dark world, just like much of our own world. A world that's different, that has different schedules and different ways of going back into the world. A world that's looking for light and peace, as we are, even as we return to our same everyday lives, our after Christmas lives. But like the Magi, we have shared our gifts and we have worshiped. Like the shepherds, we have heard the good news of great joy proclaimed by angels. And like the angels, we have sung glory to God in the highest. And like Joseph and Mary, returning to their world, carrying that newborn son with them into their world. So we, as we leave Christmas, can carry in our own hearts the one who is the Prince of Peace and the light of the world. And if we do that, then we are changed, like the Magi, like the shepherds, forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.